Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Shad Marquitz. We're your hosts as always on this weekend's edition and throughout the week for our daily editorials and company updates on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, Corlin Economics Report. Look, I realize that all eyes are on the Fed coming up next week on Wednesday with their statement and press conference. Pretty much a 50 basis point rate hike baked in for at least that meeting and the one following. A lot of people are looking 3+ hikes out or meetings out to see what that guidance is. I feel like we've talked about that all the time on our daily editorials. So we're going to switch focus a little bit to kick off this weekend show. We are chatting with Jayant Bhandari, private investor as well as consultant to a lot of the well-known investors in the resource sector. Now, Jayant, you're well known on our site and in the industry as being one that really dives into some of the junior resource stocks, also making your way up to the mid caps. What we're going to talk about here is jurisdictions. We're going to start with the Golden Triangle, but we're going to move throughout Canada, throughout the U.S., and some other jurisdictions around the world. I want to start in Canada because the Golden Triangle, I think every resource investor knows about the Golden Triangle. And I think a lot of resource investors know that the Golden Triangle companies, they have a very short work program year when they can get on site. Usually we see these stocks running before the drilling starts, which usually happens in midsummer. This year, because of how tough the market is, these stocks are not running, unfortunately. But let me ask you then, Jayant, how are you viewing the Golden Triangle as a jurisdictional play for resource investors?
Hi, Corey. Thanks for having me. So I have one company that I'm invested in the Golden Triangle area. I usually shy away from Golden Triangle. The reason is that virtually every company that I come across in Golden Triangle, from my perspective, is overpriced. There is the sexiness associated with Golden Triangle, the apparent high grade that some of these companies have. But at the end of the day, the market's expectations are too high. The market does not necessarily understand how rugged that area is, how difficult the infrastructural situation in that area is, and how difficult it is to drill and mine in that area. So you can look at some of the companies that are well known in that area and just look at their balance sheets, and you might realize that their market capitalization might be lower than all the money that they have ever raised, which means that if you add up all the investors that they have ever had, an average investor lost value investing in that area, which does not mean that I have anything against specific companies. As I said, I am invested in one Golden Triangle company, but at a huge loss right now. But you have to be careful not to invest based on the sexiness associated with Golden Triangle.
Well, Jayant, this is just more of a general question before we dive into some of the other jurisdictions. That is, when there is a seasonal area due to weather patterns like the Golden Triangle, but there's other areas that are like that. Some areas have rainy seasons. Some areas, have to have the ice to be able to drill over swampy areas. Other areas, there's not enough water, so they have issues with, getting people in. How does that affect? Do you play any of the seasonality where you try to get into something like a Golden Triangle while it's the hot drill assay release season and then get back out of it? Or is there any other areas where you look at weather-related situations?
Yes and no, Shad. I mean, given that prices of Golden Triangle companies have fallen so much, I should actually be looking at some of those companies right now. All I have to do is to imagine what would happen next year at the same time. Maybe they would be drilling next year at this time. So if those stocks have fallen by 50 or 70% just because of the fact that they are likely not drilling this year, they have fallen far too much for what delay means in terms of loss of value. So I would only discount what I would have expected as the value by 20% for a one-year delay. And if prices have fallen more than that, then I'm actually should be looking at those companies and investing in them.
So, Giant, let's also talk about another high-cost jurisdiction that's up further north. It can be northern Canada, also northern U.S. in Alaska. Do you have any preference in terms of if you're looking even further north in North America, a jurisdiction that you like up there out of those even higher-cost operator areas?
Let's look at Yukon, a jurisdiction that I have been to several times. In the Northwestern Territories, there was a tungsten mine. I have been there, and they look very high-grade projects. The problem in Yukon area is that the cost of production and the cost of building infrastructure can be extremely high. So you can look at a couple of companies that are producing in Yukon, and you realize that it's very hard to make money in Yukon. Infrastructure is very difficult, and it's a very, very cold environment most of the year in Yukon. On top of all this, Yukon has something called a water body. I don't remember the formal name of that body, but that body is independent of the government, and they basically decide whether a mining project goes ahead or not. And that's an extremely conservative body. So you have to be very careful about whether they will ever give permission for a mining project to go ahead. So, we were offline talking about one project that is going to entail a massive tailing facility in Yukon. And I think that project will stay a dream unless they completely re-engineer the project with some higher grade material, because the water body is not going to let that tailings dam come to exist. That tailings dam, from what I recall, will be the size of one large city. So that's going to be a massive pond that will get created, and they will not allow that to happen. The water body in Yukon.
Yeah, Giant, that's a great point. There's a lot of things that look good on paper, but practically they oftentimes are not going to get built or are going to have social pushback or pushback from the permitting side of things. So always important to consider. Corey had kind of thrown in Alaska with that last question. I may just ask you specifically about it. We've seen two major projects get blocked in Alaska just in the last 2 years. The Pebble project that Northern Dynasty holds, and now more recently the Trilogy copper project. So while Alaska has a lot of interesting mines, and including Fort Knox, and it has a lot of interesting mining history, it seems like it's getting harder and harder to get projects built and approved there. What is your take on Alaska?
Well, I think Alaska tends to be a good jurisdiction, but you have to have a project that is easy to permit, or at least not be a project that is impossible to permit. I think historically, a company like Northern Dynasty has been sold on the basis of the massive amount of copper and gold it has in the ground. But the problem is, it is a low-grade project. So even if the permit had been granted, is it a project that is financially viable is a big question. Now, I know that the company that they had a joint venture with, I've been to the project a couple of times, they spent, I think, close to $600 million or $1 billion on that project, drilling it, doing all the design work on the project. But at the end of the day, some of these projects are just not financially viable, but people just keep throwing money at some of these projects in expectation of commodity prices going to the sky. And I think that is often an erroneous way to invest in some of these projects. Alaska, again, is a good jurisdiction in my view, but you have to be concerned. You have to take into account that some of the infrastructure that you want to lay down might not be possible because of First Nations opposition or because of just lack of economics that some of these projects might have.
Yeah, when you consider just how much money has been spent on some of these projects up north and the lack of, I guess, actual mining that we have up there, I'm sure it is a bit disappointing for some investors. There has been, some of these projects simply turn into a money pit. Let's also talk about Newfoundland, because Newfoundland, still on a lot of investors' minds, really came in as an area play a couple years ago with newfound gold hitting some very impressive grades and a complete land rush by a lot of juniors into Newfoundland. We haven't seen really too many majors get into the country or get into that province. How are you viewing Newfoundland as a play for investors interested in exploration?
I have nothing against the jurisdiction, but again, whenever there is too much of excitement about a jurisdiction, I tend to shy away just because prices tend to get overpriced. And that's exactly when I want to sell and walk away after booking my profit. Now, I have mentioned in the past a company called Maritime Resources. I am invested in that. I'm invested in what is now known as Signal Mining, which is used to be Anaconda Mining. I think both good companies, particularly Maritime Resources, which I think offers a fabulous value, except that, of course, they are probably running out of money. So I would not necessarily buy too much of it right now. Again, I have nothing against the jurisdiction. I think some of these companies make a lot of sense to me. But when there is too much of euphoria about a jurisdiction, a lot of people who have nothing to show will stake in area without any reason to get investor invest and make money from it. But I don't want to be invested in such companies.
That's a solid point, Giant. I think a lot of these companies in an area play when an area gets hot because of a discovery, a lot of people just start staking land and they're more mining the investor base than they are mining the ground. So that
absolutely
just tends to happen
on
any area play. But let's talk about another hot one in Canada. And it's been a good jurisdiction for a long time, and that's Red Lake. You have the big Red Lake mine that was run by Goldcorp, now Evolution Mining. You've got Pure Gold that went into productions, had a few speed bumps, the epic Great Bear takeout last year by Kinross. But there's probably a dozen, almost two dozen other companies all vying for position in Red Lake. What do you make of that jurisdiction?
Well, excellent place to operate in. Again, you have to remember that it's a tough jurisdiction. If you recall, I used to be on the board of a company called Gold Canyon, which had this Spring Pole project. It's a tough area, but if you have economics right, then I don't see a problem in investing in that area. Now, Pure Gold ran into problems. I mean, Matson project was never an easy project. If market thought it was going to be easy, it was the misunderstanding of the market. So I think what people really have to remember is that they are not investing in the area. They are investing in a specific project, and that project must make economic sense after taking into account the infrastructure required and the time delay required in getting permitted.
So, Giant, let's talk about the U.S. then, okay? Because the U.S., lots of different jurisdictions that we can touch on here. Let's start with probably the best-known jurisdiction, Nevada. Man, there are a lot of companies active in Nevada, both majors and juniors, and a lot of mines that make money there. There's also a lot of low-grade gold that companies find and build up resources around. What entices you about Nevada? What do you avoid in Nevada? How do you invest in Nevada?
Well, I think I'm very simple about my investment methodology anyway, which is a simple discounted cash flow valuation of these companies. And Nevada as a jurisdiction gives me peace of mind. There are delays about permitting everywhere on the planet, but at least you have a defined structure on how to get permitted. It's a relatively safe jurisdiction. It is a jurisdiction where you can find competencies in terms of miners and geologists, and people understand that area. So it's a good state to operate in. Now, that does not mean I would invest in projects that that are low grade and which don't make economic sense to me. If you recall, there was this multi-billion-dollar company which actually went bankrupt trying to mine a lot of ounces at a lot of losses, which meant that the more they produced, the faster they went bankrupt. So, you know, you can invest just based on a very speculative expectation of the future of some of those projects. But basically, one should avoid investing in low-grade projects, particularly low-grade projects that are uneconomic from any financial point of view. Some of the low-grade projects, particularly which are oxidized rock, can actually make you a lot of money. So that's perfectly fine. But people have to pay attention to the economics, even when they invest in jurisdictions that are good.
Yeah, a lot of times people just hear the word Nevada and assume it's a slam dunk, but not every project is a slam dunk. And you have to differentiate the different kinds of ore too. If it's got refractory ore, can they process it? If it's got sulfides, do they have the ability to get a mill built or a mill nearby? Lots to consider besides just the state it's in. But Nevada is probably the hands down best jurisdiction in the United States. One of the other ones that's top of the list in the US is Idaho. A lot of silver mining in the Silver Valley. A whole peppering of, a couple dozen companies up there. What's your take on Idaho?
There is one company that I quite like in Idaho, Revival Gold. And I think they have a decent project with a decent future. But also remember, that area has a lot of legacy issues. So you have to be careful about which company you are investing in Idaho and the province next to it. They have historically been a lot of silver mining in that area. And there is an environmental legacy issues associated with acquiring that project. And most people don't remember, keep that in mind, that once these companies have acquired those projects, they become responsible for the environmental issues that come to their books because of the past. I would be very careful about which company I'm investing in. I want to explore the history of those projects and what kind of environmental legacy is associated with those projects. But otherwise, I have nothing against the jurisdiction.
So, Giant, what other areas in the U.S. do you like? Which other ones do you avoid? We could talk California that seems to constantly have permitting issues. We could talk Arizona, where there are a number of exploration and large companies in that state. A number of other states that we could talk about. Wyoming, there are companies active in. What do you like? What do you dislike in terms of the rest of the U.S.?
Well, I think you have pretty much explained what I like and don't like about the US. Nevada is a great jurisdiction. Arizona is perfectly fine. California is a complete disaster. I can't remember if I have ever come across a project that made money in California. They, even if they went into production, they could not make money in trying to meet the constant demands of the environmental bodies. And once you don't have many mining projects in a state, then the government bodies, regulatory bodies also become very conservative because they don't really know what they are up to. And this is exactly the same problem with Yukon as well. Yukon has a massive, from what I recall, a massive department dedicated for mining purposes. But if they don't really have too many mines, they have a couple of mines right now, they will become conservative because they don't really have the daily experience of permitting projects and checking on those projects. So yeah, I think Nevada and Arizona are good jurisdictions. That's where I would go for.
Well, Giant, let's round out the rest of North America and actually the bridge into Latin America with a huge mining country, and that is Mexico. I realize there's lots of different states and they kind of all drill down to more of a local level, but when you think about investing in Mexico, are there any takeaways that you would leave for investors, some do's and some don'ts?
Mexico is a country I became pessimistic about when the new president came into power. But I don't see things to have taken too bad a turn after he came into power. So I am perfectly fine with Mexico the way it stands right now. I am investing in Mexico. I go to Mexico quite often as well these days, and I am happy with the jurisdiction. Now, remember, Latin America as an area is going downhill across the board. But I'm here as an investor, and I'm here for the next 5 to 10 years at most. So, from that perspective, a lot of companies that I'm invested in Mexico look perfectly fine to me, and I'm a happy investor. However, having said that, apart from Mexico, I think the rest of Latin America is on a completely wrong path, and one has to become increasingly worried about what is happening in the rest of Latin America.
So, Giant, can you share some of your favorite stocks then, either in Mexico or in some of the other jurisdictions we touched on that you are positive on?
So there's one company called Aztec Minerals. They closed their financing yesterday, I think. The ticker is AZT. It is trading at 28 cents, and I gave them more money at 30 cents in the latest financing. So I retained my original ownership in Aztec, which was a lot of money that I gave them in the first round at 30 cent. And I did the second round as well at 30 cent. So that's one of my very favorite companies. I mentioned to you about maritime resources. There's a company called Harfang Exploration. The ticker is HAR, a company that I mentioned to you in the past. That is in Quebec, and they are trading at about 30 cents. And I think that's a company that people should look at. The funny thing is that this company rolled back its stock 1-for-2 shares or 1.255 share, but the share price continued to be the same, which means that probably some people forgot that the company has rolled back 2.55 to 1. So I think, and they are well cashed up company. They have $10-12 million in cash. So it's a company to look at.
All right, Giant. Really appreciate your insights on it. Really was just North American down to Mexico. This is going to be part of an ongoing series, though. Next time we have you on, we'll dive a bit more into some of the South American countries and then even look to Africa, Australia. There's a lot of other jurisdictions we can talk, but we really did just want to dive into some of the more well-known ones around where a lot of our listeners are, and that is around North America. If anybody wants us to talk more specifically about some of these other jurisdictions, feel free to email us, because as I mentioned, when we have Giant on next, we'll talk some of these other jurisdictions. Giant, thank you so much for taking time on this weekend show. We'll chat again soon. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Great. Thanks very much for the opportunity.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.